The nonprofit Mental Health America offers anonymous screenings which look for symptoms of various mental illnesses. These tests have been online since 2014, and they've become a crucial resource during the coronavirus pandemic. The number of people screening themselves for anxiety or depression this past June was more than 400% higher compared to January. Paul Gianfrido is president and CEO of Mental Health America.
The problems are concentrated a lot among younger people, and we've also seen increasing numbers and increasing severity of results around other conditions that people would think would not necessarily be related to the pandemic, like psychosis.
Data from the online screenings shows certain groups are facing more severe symptoms of depression and anxiety. That includes LGBTQ people, caregivers, and trauma survivors. There are some caveats to these findings, though. The research doesn't represent a random sampling of Americans. Gianfrido says the people who head online to take these screenings are more likely to seek help for symptoms of mental illness.
The screening is free, though, and it's anonymous, so most anybody who finds it can take it. There are no real barriers or obstacles.
This past April, the U.S. Census Bureau debuted a new emergency tool called the Household Pulse Survey. It looks at the frequency of mental illness symptoms over the past 7 days. The latest reporting shows the number of Americans facing symptoms of anxiety or depressive disorder continues to trend up. Gianfrido says a majority of people screening positive for these conditions cite loneliness as a key factor shaping their mental health. Even before the pandemic, though, loneliness was widespread.
What we've seen happen in the pandemic is an acceleration of the numbers of people who are saying loneliness is a factor. And now we're also seeing growth in current events, COVID-19 in particular, and grieving. And we think soon financial problems will also show up more on that list.
More people are also reporting thoughts of suicide. This past June, more than 25,000 people who took Mental Health America's depression screening said they frequently think about suicide or self-harm. That number is up about sixfold from January. Gianfrido says this is an early warning sign when interventions are possible.
It's going to take money and resources for services before stage four, mostly when people are younger. And or when people are first beginning to feel the impacts of what will become diagnosed as serious mental health conditions, we've got to be paying attention to that and recognizing there are a lot more people in stage one right now than we've ever had before, and we need to do something about that.
So much remains unknown about the pandemic's long-term effects on mental health. Researchers are gathering information almost in real time, and some of their findings have been surprising. A recent study from the American Psychological Association found loneliness did not appear to increase during the pandemic. Researchers surveyed American adults early this year, before social distancing took effect. They followed up through late April and found no significant change in average levels of loneliness. Martina Lucchetti is the study's lead author.
For us, it was actually very surprising that loneliness did not increase. But instead, we found that our participants were reporting more emotional and social support from others.
She says that may be because more people are connecting with loved ones through phone calls and video chats. Lucchetti says some people, though, especially those in high-risk groups, may be feeling lonelier on an individual level. Studies like hers give a sense of what's happening on a large scale so far. But it'll take more time and research to understand how continued social distancing will shape loneliness and mental illness. I'm Saida Hassan in Dallas.